Well, good to see you this morning. We're going to continue going through our Sermon on the Mount, and we're our Sermon on the Mount. Thank you very much. I'm still stuck like 3.5 years ago. How about that? We did a long like 4-month thing. Yeah, all the way. 10 Commandments, though. How about that? Does that work? Yeah, good. Let's go with that. But we're in a series on the 10 Commandments. We're on number 9 this morning, and we're going to talk about just becoming better truth tellers, because this commandment has to do with speaking the truth, and the actual commitment is not bearing false witness. So we'll talk about that. Can you believe we're 2 weeks away from Easter right now? It's pretty amazing. My goodness. I don't know why I said that, just thinking to myself, I can't believe it. We're 2 weeks away. But I posted something on my Facebook, and many of you are friends of mine on Facebook, and sometimes I'll post things, questions or whatever, and people will respond to questions. This week I posted a question, and the question that one of the questions I posted was, what is one thing that you have lied about? So if you responded this week, you're on the screen right now. And people regularly ask me, do you ever use this stuff for sermons? And now you can say,
yes.
Yes. So please play. In fact, if you have a handheld device, you can play right now, right? But some of the, it says, what's one thing you've lied about? And then some of the responses, just one? And then, believe it or not, my age, someone put, the check is in the mail. My friend Joe said, I told my daughter that everything she has ever done or will ever... I have done everything she has ever done or will ever do. And that I'd already done this. She proceeded then to break her arm. And when getting the cast on, she asked if I had ever broken my arm. When I told her, no, I've never broken my arm, she said, well, Daddy, you lied to me. Very good. Michael, I don't know where Michael is. Michael always has funny comments. Yeah, Michael says, I never lie. Michael, you want to stand for us? Get it. Michael says, and then the next comment, I never lie. And the next comment, well, Michael, I think you just did. This is the next comment. Yeah. And then one of my friends from high school, Jenny, she put, oh dear, mostly when I'm not on time. That's when she lies. And then Eric, one of my friends, Eric, put this. He said, I post a lot of these kinds of things, as some of you know. He said this. He says, I love that you get so many people responding to these posts, but when it's raw and honest, where'd everybody go? My lie? I just love my job. He'll love it tomorrow, I'll tell you that, if his boss is here. At any rate, there are more there. So it's amazing, you know, hesitancy we have to confess where it is that we have been untrue in our lives. We don't like to admit that. We don't like to admit that sometimes we hedge the truth, or we will shade in certain areas of life, or at times just not necessarily use an overt lie, but just by our silence, we'll allow things to be misunderstood. I think that would qualify as deception. And it's interesting, I was reading an article and it talked about a survey that was done out of Temple University a few years ago, 5 years ago. And this particular survey interviewed or tracked children. And what they showed is they showed these children someone shooting a gun. And what they did then is they broke the children into groups. And they said to a certain group of children, now you saw, you know, this person shooting the gun. It was on a video. What we want you to do is when someone asks you, did you see someone shooting a gun, you say no. So it's a simple just lie. And when the other group, they said, you just speak the truth. And then they monitored their brain waves and all that kind of stuff. And if you monitor the brain waves of children, it's often, you know, all over the place. But in this case, evidently they were able to do it. And what they found was fascinating. They found that it takes far more energy to produce even a simple lie than to just tell the truth. the brain waves and the brain activity on someone who is even telling a simple lie. We're just off the charts with, you know, trying to monitor and so on. And some of you who have walked down the road of trying to cover lies or sweep up your past, you know how much work that is. And you know that it's like a stacking up dominoes, where if you hit that first one, they're all just going to come down, and you have to work like crazy to keep your story straight and to make sure things line up. And it can be kind of an exhausting endeavor. And so this passage, or this command from God's Word, really helps us to live true and to live free and to live in the way that God calls us to live, which is a way that is free and light, as Jesus says. And what that means is that it's unencumbered by a bunch of baggage and junk in this life. Now, if I were to ask you a very simple question, what is one of the most profound or obvious questions that people look for when they get into relationship? I think that near the top of that list, if not at the very top, would be honesty. Wouldn't you say that that's a pretty important component of relationship? Is being in relationship with someone who's honest. Someone, when they speak to you, that you know what they say is trustworthy. You know that it's reliable. You know that when you disclose something to them, that it's not just going to leak out of them all over, you know, everybody else. There's something about integrity and honesty that builds relationship with people. Interestingly enough, the counter to that is also true. There's nothing that hurts people quite as much as dishonesty, is there? Some of you have been in relationships where you've been hurt by dishonesty. And even the mention of that stings you in this moment, because you know the reality and the pain and the weight of being hurt by something that's not true. And so, while it's easy to establish that this command speaks in directly into our lives and to places that are important in our lives, it's helpful for us to understand why God would say this. And we will understand those things. You know, it's one of the things that's interesting is when we think about truth-telling, when we think about lying, God gives us this command really for the establishment of a bedrock for building relationships and community on. You can't have a functional sort of relating pattern in your life without honesty. You just can't. You know, one of the other things that's interesting about lying is this. When it comes to almost any other sin that may be present in a person's life, almost always what accompanies that is lying at some level. Because when we've fallen, or when we've gone by the wayside, or when we know we don't measure up or we're not living true, one of the things we tend to do is to lie about it, either to cover it up or to just outright lie about it and say, this isn't an issue for me, this isn't a problem for me. And it's amazing how often we probably do that. So let's think about God's Word to us. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 18, it's on your program, it's on your outline, which is in your program. You can take that out. But Exodus, chapter 20, verse 18, it's on the side screen here. Let's read this together. Fill God's house with God's Word. Exodus 20, 16, ready? You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is just talking about being untrue and lying. Now, before we move further, I know that there are those who are here this morning who like to play the situational ethics game or the semantics game with all of these different commandments. I know, because I talk to you, many of you, throughout the week, you'll ask questions. Yes, but what about this? And some people, when it comes to not bearing false testimony or not lying, they would say things like this. Well, what about lies of necessity? You'd say, lies of necessity? Really? You'd say, yes, really. I mean, can't you in the Scriptures find places where people lie? And in fact, you can. In fact, you can. One of the, in this last fall, you know, we've been going through the book of Exodus now for several months. We started in the fall. And the very first message in this series that we're doing now had to do with the Hebrew wives of Israel. And it had to do with Shiphrah, and Pua, remember the Hawaiian midwives, and they were, and They were the ones who were responsible for delivering these Hebrew babies while the Hebrew people were in slavery. And the word came down from the Pharaoh of Egypt that the midwives were to kill, remember this? The midwives were to kill the babies so that, you know, they could, the baby boys, so that they could keep their numbers down. And of course, Shifra and Pua did not obey. And when they were asked about, are you killing these babies? What they said was a lie. They said, well, you know, what we find is the Hebrew women, they just have these kids so fast that we can't get to them all in time. That's essentially what they said. So you'd say, is that a noble lie? Is that a worthwhile lie? Is that a lie of necessity? There's a story of Rahab. You can read this this afternoon or later in the week if you'd like. Joshua chapter 2. Rahab lies to protect God's plan, the spies that are sent in to evaluate and to get an assessment of the land. And Rahab lies. And we'd say, again, I'd ask you, well, what about some of these lies of necessity? And again, we could get into a discussion on situational ethics or semantics, on levels of morality, or on where it is or it may be appropriate. Let me give you this example. Let's say, you can actively participate here. You don't have to stand, but you can just wave your hand. And here's the deal. Let me ask those of you who are here this morning. I'll just ask the yes portion, not the no portion. It is illegal to smuggle Bibles into China. Did you know this? You're not allowed to smuggle Bibles into China. If you were going into China with a team of people, you were Christians and you're going in, and you had on your possession, a keychain or something that possessed on it the entire Bible, you know, in one of those jump drives, or you had something, how many of you would smuggle that Bible into China? Sure, I would too. I have. So we play, games like that, but we go down roads where we think, well, what really is appropriate and what's inappropriate? How about this? You see one of your best friends running down the street. He comes around the corner, or she comes around the corner, and he runs by you, she said, "This murderer is chasing me," and he runs off around the corner. Just four seconds later, another guy comes around the corner with a gun. And he's got a mask over his face, and he looks at you, and he says, "Which way did he go?" Depends how much you like the friend, doesn't it? Yeah. See, those kinds of questions, we go, And so we have these lies of necessity on one hand that we want to kind of think about. There are also these, for lack of a better term, nice lies that we kind of live with and we tell each other, right? Let's just say someone gets a hack job on their head, right? I know I got no room to talk here, which is fine because we're not talking about judgment today. So somebody just gets a hack job on their head. I mean, it is a haircut that belongs on a sloth, and everybody knows it, right? And you're looking at that person, and you're thinking, what were you thinking, Mr. Floby? You know, what is wrong with you, right? The question is, if the person says, "Do you like my new haircut?" You might say, let's just say this is your wife, all right? How about that? She's going to tighten the screws on you right there. You're going to say, "I love sloths." Yes. That's right. Or let's say a guy gets put on your team at work. He's a really nice guy. But he's about as dumb as a doorknob, right? I mean, just when it comes to creativity and functionality, and he gets put on your team, and he's in on the team, and just a sweet guy, nice guy, and says, "Hey, I'm just so glad to be on the team. I'm glad we're on the same team, aren't you?" Yeah, it's really easy when you read God's word to go, I'm just not going to lie, right? But then we hit these places where we go, let me just help you on this. What God's word is talking about here, and what it's talking to you about and to me about, are not these niche, unique, kind of areas where we just want to do mental gymnastics all day. It's talking about the practical fabric of day-to-day life. This command literally had to do with the ability of for people to speak truth when it came to legal matters, so that the truth could be understood. Now, the application of that certainly spills over into the rest of life. Because without truth, you can't make decisions that are good, that are wise, that are appropriate. So while there may be areas in this life that, again, we want to play around with and laugh at a little bit, the thrust of this commandment and the essence of it has to do with living as people who are true, day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. Speaking the truth in love. Because we could go down all the way down the road and say, well, what about figures of speech? What about people who say, oh, I'm just going to die if this happens? Really? You're going to die if the car wash is closed and you can't bring you're going to die? You're going to go into full cardiac right there and just behind right there and it's going to all be over, right? Because they ran out of soap or whatever. You're going to die? So obviously there are limits to that. When it comes to lies, it's interesting, you can look back to the beginning of our story as followers of Jesus Christ. Look back to the early pages of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, and really the whole fall of humanity has to do with a lie that is told. God says to people, God says to Adam and Eve, don't eat off of this tree. There's a tree that I put in the garden, it's not for you to partake of. And I'm going to give you everything you need. Every sort of peace, every sort of things that would sustain you. I'm going to give you a sense of wholeness. There will be a sense of accomplishment, even in just waking up and living as my people. How about that? You will be full and alive. And then Satan comes along, and he says, really, did God say not to eat off of that tree? Come on. And deception is the tool that Satan uses. And he twists the knife a little bit. You know why God said that, don't you? God told you not to eat off of that tree because if you eat off of it, then you'll know what God knows. And that's always sounds like an appealing thing, doesn't it? Until you read further on in that passage, and it says after Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree, it says they ate off the tree, and both of them realized that their eyes were open. They realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. What they realized is that there was darkness and that God left a possibility for. Think about this. Just as we've been thinking about every week, there's always a little caveat in each of these commands that really stings us when we think about it. I mean, the depth of it. That original lie, even. Satan says, God doesn't want you to do that because then you'll know what God knows. And there's disobedience to God, and all of a sudden what we know is that there's good and there's evil that can be present. Do you realize, think about this, do you realize that if we would have just taken God at His word and been true and obedient and obeying that, this world would have never known what evil is. Why did we want to know what evil was? Who's that curious? Really? For all the injustice, for all the heartache, for all the pain, for all the brokenness in this world, did we really want to know evil that bad? But when we're lied to, it's easy to go down a road that we don't want to go down. That's what deception is all about. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why God's Word puts it on the table for us to look at quite squarely. It says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2, it says, the Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in people who are truthful. Now, when we talk about bearing false witness or lying, there are different ways that this happens, as we've already established a little bit. But let me just give you some ways that you can see this. One is just through outright deception, as we've talked about. Deception could be called a half-truth or a cover-up. Or, as mentioned a moment ago, you could just deceive someone through your silence, letting them believe something is true when it's not, or vice versa. Then there are things like gossip. And I know that no one in this room is susceptible to gossip or goes down that road. But for the rest of the world, right? This can be a pretty big issue. All these can. But gossip is one of those things that when people use gossip or when they express gossip, really what they're doing is they're trying to grab some kind of power. They feel powerless inside, and so it's going to make them feel a whole lot better if they can appear to be better than someone or to have the inside dish or scoop on someone. And so they gossip. And gossip has a close cousin, slander. Slander is literally spreading rumors about someone with malicious intent. It's putting something out there that's meant to kill or destroy someone's reputation. That's a way of deceit, too. There's a story from Jewish folklore that some of you may know. It's a great story. And there is a couple that moves into a small village. And they begin to spread falsehoods about one of their friends, a shop owner that has a shop next to them. And the rumors and the gossip that they spread about this person are just hideous. They ruin this man's reputation. They ruin all that he built and established in the community. Everything he'd worked for years and years was just laid to waste in terms of his reputation. And the rabbi steps in, goes to the couple who had spread all the rumors. And he says, you've destroyed this man's life. And the couple said, well, you know, we didn't mean for it to go that far. And we'd like for him to forgive us. But we're not sure that that can ever happen. And the rabbi says, you want to understand, what's happened here, don't you? They said, yeah. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home tonight. And then I want you to bring one of your pillows when we come and meet tomorrow. And so next morning they showed up to meet with the rabbi, and they brought a pillow stuffed with feathers. The rabbi took the pillow from them and he opened it up. And he says, I want you to walk around the village just spreading these feathers in the corners of the village. And then I want you to go up on the clock tower and just, shake out the other half of these feathers so that they just kind of blow with the wind. And the couple goes and they do that. They come back to the rabbi and they said, what was the point in all of that? The rabbi says, here's what I want you to do now. I want you to go and collect all of the feathers that you spread around. Put them back in this bag. The couple said, that is impossible what you're asking us to do. And the rabbi's point had been made about slander, about gossip. It seems pretty harmless at first. Seems like we could take it back or get it under control, or it's not going to blow someone's life out of perspective. It's a way of dishonesty. There's also things like flattery. And you can say, well, what's wrong with flattery? Flattery is, at its base form, is really saying something to get something in return in kind of a selfish way. It's self-serving in its motivation. You can even look at things like exaggeration. And in marriages, let me just speak to this for a moment. In relationships of all sorts, but in marriages especially, this is a ringer right here. In your marriages, you can say, it never happens in my house, because my wife's here. But one of the things that happens is, you'll have some sort of disagreement or whatever. Let's say it's about taking the kids to soccer practice or whatever. And, Dad will come home, and Dad's a little tired because he's been working all day. And he'll say to Mom about taking the kids to soccer practice, he'll say, hey, I thought you were going to take the kids to soccer practice tonight because I always take them. Right? Which totally relieves the wife. Oh, good. Right? Doesn't it? No, play with me right here, okay? Great. No, what the wife thinks is, you don't always take them, not always. Half the time, I take them. You know what? In fact, it feels like I'm always taking them, and you could take it tonight. Well, you never take them, right? And so we use these exaggerations, and it's really easy to go down that road. You know, always, never. Because as you know, marriage is impossible. Okay. It's a little right, live. Okay, good. Okay, good. Just make sure you're with me. All right. Why do you think people lie? Why do you think people lie? People lie for all sorts of reasons. Some folks lie to impress other people. Some folks lie to please people. Some folks lie to get revenge. Some people lie for profit on their business statement. Nobody on their taxes, of course. People lie for all sorts of reasons. Because they're selfish. Because they want to have their own way. People lie to escape punishment. To avoid consequence. To gain control. People lie for convenience. People lie to justify their actions. All sorts of reasons that people are less than forthcoming when it comes to the truth. But you know, living like that it's like living on quicksand. It's no way to live, and it certainly doesn't lead towards strength. So how is it then that we should live? How does God's word call us to live? Proverbs chapter 2 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." If we're going to think about building our lives in a way that is true and strong, we need to think about becoming truth tellers. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25, Paul writes this. It'll be on the side screen. It says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." And then verses 29 and 30 go on to say this. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit." First thing there that the Apostle Paul writes is putting off falsehood. Let me help all of us with this. Putting off falsehood, you know where that begins? It begins in your own heart and in your own life. There is a tendency for all of us as we go through this life to believe a lot of things that are not true. You know that there's a spiritual battle going on for your soul. And one of the things the enemy wants to get you to believe is that you're not lovable, that you're not worthy, that God can't use you, that you're not redeemed, that you can't be set free, that darkness has the most power or the last word over your life, all of which are false. And there are all sorts of other falsehoods that we can go down the road of believing. And that's where, when it comes to putting off falsehood, it's great that you start with yourself, and I start with myself. And it has everything to do with just what you're believing. So maybe you're here this morning, and you really believe one of the great lies is that you are unlovable. Let me tell you what God's Word says to you. God's Word says to you that you are so deeply loved and valued that God sent His Son to redeem your life. He has loved you with an everlasting love. How about that? God's love for you is not based upon your performance. It's based upon the fact that you're His creation. You're His child, and He wants relationship with you. You may be here this morning, and you may feel like darkness or sin has the last word in your life. You may be thinking, there's a pattern in my life that just can't be broken, or it won't be broken. You know what the Scriptures would say to you? You know what God's Word, God's truth would say to you? That greater is the one who is in you, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of His Spirit. Greater is the one who is in you than he that is in this world. Meaning Satan and darkness and the enemy. Every good promise of God is yours. It's yours. And it's yours to live by. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to catch some of you right now. I want you to play. Some of you have a verse that speaks to the truth of God in your life, or a phrase from God's Word that you go, this is a truth from God's Word. I want you to just give me those truths right now. Just shout them out. What's a truth from God's Word? Maybe it's a verse, something you know that you cling to. Ephesians 3, 1 through 10. Kevin, good, thanks. That's what I'm talking about. Awesome. What else? Come on. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. The truth about relationship. That you love one another. Good. Do not fear, for I am with you. Susie, good. Thanks. What else? Another script. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What else? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What else? He'll keep you in perfect peace. What else? With God, all things are possible. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. God cares about you. Do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will be rewarded. He is risen. That's good. That's the slam dunk. Well done. All right. Listen, so much truth from God's Word. And you know what? Some of you were sitting there and you went, "Ooh, I got one. But I don't want to say it. Not here, please, right? I might get the verse wrong. I might just say it wrong. And then it'd be a lie. And then, oh, what will I do, right? You, I know. Right? Totally conflicted, right? But there's something that happens, isn't there? When you hear God's Word like that, that you know it's true. That you think, oh, God. And so putting off falsehood and remembering what's true, that's key. That verse in Ephesians goes on to say, and speak truthfully to your neighbor. What does it mean to speak truthfully to your neighbor? How about just, you know, telling the truth with some sort of grace and love at times when it's difficult? But just deciding that you're going to speak the truth. Now, one of the illustrations you could use for this, or we could use, is to think about American Idol. Do you like American Idol? In my house, I've got three daughters, so we are an American Idol house, right? And there are, not this year, but in past years, three judges on American Idol. There's Simon Cowell. He got mentioned twice in this service. That's pretty amazing. Simon Cowell. There was Paula Abdul up until this year. Paula Abdul, and then Randy Jackson, right? And their personalities were all very different. And this year you got a couple of other judges, but let's go with those three for the sake of this illustration. Paula, Randy, and Simon. Now, some of you may not have seen American Idol, and that's fine. You can move out of your cave this week. But we're, I'm kidding. Trust me, if I didn't have kids, I would say, wow, American, what? But there's these three, and all of them have very distinct personalities. You have, and so the singers come, and when they sing, they're judged. And the first guy, usually the last guy to go, but the guy with the strongest opinion and the guy who just cuts people into ribbons is Simon. See, you watch this show. I knew you did. Simon, right? So this person will go, and he'll say something like, you know what? If I were on a bad harbor cruise with a guy wearing a toupee and a cheap tuxedo, that's what I would expect to hear. Them sounding like you singing that song. That was awful. And you're going to hell on a greased fire pole. I mean, just something like that where it's like, what? You know, just too much. He just backs the truck of shame up and just dumps it out right there. And then you have Paula. And when Paula is, you know, well, Paula, what did you think? Oh, I like your shoes. It's like, you know, something just, you know, well, I thought you hit a couple notes right. You know, just, you know, total acquiescing to the whatever it was. And then you have Randy. Listen, dog, what's up? I mean, you know, this whole thing. And he says, listen, dog. He says, you know what? You hit some pitchy spots or whatever. And he'll kind of give a synthesis. He'll not be as brutal, but he'll speak the truth usually with some measure of mercy. The question is, as you and I are going through this life, who are we going to be, right? Are we going to go around as Simon Cowell, just blasting everybody we come into contact with, you know, massive measures of truth and insensitivity? Because we never have to worry about being wrong that way, do we? No, but we do have to worry about being arrogant. Or you could go around and just kind of putting your head in the sand and not speaking the truth really to anyone and not maybe knowing what it is yourself, right? Yeah. Or you can go through life trying to be tactful and appropriate and saying, look, I'll speak the truth and I'll do it as graciously as I can and consistently. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? And the question is, or excuse me, the point is just that. It says speak truthfully to your neighbor. Speak truthfully to your neighbor. So make that a pattern, but it doesn't have to be a weapon, right? I got some truth for you. You're a jerk, right? How about you? No, come on. That doesn't. And then that passage finally goes on to say, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I think the bottom line of lying is just that. It's just not grieving the Holy Spirit. The book of John, chapter 16, verse 13 says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, and this is talking about the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Where this idea of grieving the Holy Spirit comes in with lying is it's just talking about deceiving people. And let me tell you something about God. God is the supreme truth teller. God is in to helping people to be free. That's why He speaks the truth. That's why His Word is true. You won't find things that will conflict you in your life in terms of eternity, in terms of security, in terms of peace, when you follow God's Word. And God wants for you and I to be true too. He wants for us to reflect that same sort of integrity He has. And He's created us to do that. He wants us to be true. True to His character, true to what He's called us to. You can think of it like this. Suppose we were to go over to Segerstrom Hall to watch a concert pianist, a solo concert pianist. It was a one-night-only performance, and we all got in some buses, and we all arrived over there to Segerstrom Hall, this beautiful concert hall. There was a piano on center stage, and the pianist came out, in his tuxedo, you know, with his tails and his long sleeves and so on. And he came out and he stood by the piano, and of course you all applauded. And he then went to take his seat, and he pushed his tails out and he, you know, sat down at the piano and he began. And let's say that just right as he began, he knew that that piano was out of tune. Yeah. A visceral reaction from a keyboardist. Yeah, he knew that that piano was out of tune. And all of a sudden, we knew it was kind of out of tune too. Oh, something's not right there. Right? For all of his training, for all of his expertise, I mean, he is a prodigy in this. It's a gift. It's a gift to the world that he possesses. And although we might say, watching him, no, you can go on, you can continue. We'll block out the fact that it's not quite in tune. He couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Because his pitch is too good. He wouldn't want to damage that piece of music. He wouldn't want to damage your expectation. He wouldn't want to fall short in that miserable a way. Even though we might think, well, he can still do the finger work and all that stuff, and that's cool. He'd say, no, not until it's true. And in the same way, when we go through life and we serve a God who is true and beautiful and good and trustworthy, and we go through life hitting all these sour notes and acting like it's no big deal, God will understand. Let me tell you something. If you think people in this world get a little miffed at lying, at being put in the darkness, then we should probably understand the heart of God when it comes to this. Because here it says that it just grieves the Holy Spirit when His people are not true like He calls them to be. And I think that is the essence of what we're talking about. So the question for us is, then how can we be true? And it's very... it's a prayer that will help us. One is to just be honest with ourselves and to say, okay, God, I want You to help me be ruthless with myself and my own truth-telling, with what I say to myself and what I believe and what comes out of my mouth. Lord, I need Your help and Your mercy in that. And then also when it would come to your relationship with other people, to be courageous and honest and open. How are you going to do on those things? How are you going to do? Let me mention one thing as we close. This is the most important thing that I want to share with you this morning. In the world that we live in, one of the statements that you'll hear often when it comes to faith and religion, is that we live in a culture that is tolerant of all sorts of things. And I know that you know that. We live in a world of religious pluralism, where people want to say, no, all and just whatever you want to believe, that leads to God, man. That's, you just go down your own road. Does that really sound true to you? I mean, just give yourself a break for a second. Does it really sound true that whatever you want to believe can just be? I mean, is that true about the kind of car you drive? I mean, when you get into, when I got into my Ford Pinto station wagon, can I just say, it's a 7 Series BMW. Really? Okay. Is it just because I believe it? Really? Or is there truth? Because if everything is true, nothing is true. Right? So Jesus comes along in a culture that is just confused regarding faith and religion. People are looking for substance and something that's accurate that they can stake a life on. And Jesus says this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. And what he does is essentially he puts himself on the path of every single person that's looking for truth. And you know who that would be? That would be every person that's ever walked this planet. Because we all want truth. Nobody wants to live a lie. What Jesus does is he sets himself up as the exclusive Savior of the world. Now you need to understand something. It's not Christians who have decided this. It's not the church who has decided this. It's not people trying to be arrogant who said, you've got to just believe it like this. No. It's Jesus who comes along and openly and gently and genuinely and passionately says, if you would like to have relationship with God, the way that you have it is through trusting in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And what Jesus gives you and me is exactly what our hearts desire. He gives us the truth. Here's the truth. You were created for relationship with God. Your whole life, you may have felt that you've been looking for something. And the truth is, what you've been looking for is that relationship with your Creator. Jesus Christ is the one who makes that possible. God looked at this world in its fallen and dark condition, and the Scriptures say that He sent His Son into this world so that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that anyone who would believe in Him could be made right with God. It is that simple. It is that true. And again, we could go through all the gymnastics on, well, why we want to believe and how can, and why are we so judgmental and how can you say that everybody, I'm not saying it. I'm looking at the words of Jesus. And Jesus says, if you want to have relationship with God, you put your faith in me. And you know, it's interesting. When the Bible speaks of faith and when people speak of faith, they speak of it in terms of putting your trust in God. Trust. Putting your trust in God. That's what faith is. And so if you are looking this morning to find the ultimate truth, to give your life to the one who is truth itself, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. It's just that direct. That is the only way for you to know that you will be secure in the arms of God. And you can wrestle with that. You can pitch a fit over what you would rather or what you would have. And many people have done that and squandered years of their lives in lies. Or you can look at a God who loves you, a God whose whole word is about setting you free. And you can say, you know what? I want to believe that. I want to give my life to a God who makes those kinds of promises. And you can do that this morning. You need to do that this morning. We can think of it in a lot of ways, and you could say, well, you know, it seems like I should earn something or do something. Okay. My daughter, two of my daughters, when they were born, had jaundice. Yeah? Had jaundice. And I brought them to the doctor. They were a little yellow. And the doctor said, not having had kids before, we were thinking, well, they're going to give us some medication. They're going to do something. You're going to give her a shot or make something happen. Doctor said, well, just make sure she's in the sunlight. Hold on. This is my kid you're talking about. Hold on. Really? Come on. Seriously. Is there something that you can do? Is there any sort of medicine? I mean, can we really take better care? And the doctor said, let's put her in the sunlight. Put her in the sunlight. Now, let me tell you something. I can do all kinds of work on my end, thinking there's got to be another way, there's got to be something else, there's got to be, and I can scramble, and my mind could go crazy looking for other answers. Or I could do what is true, what the doctor knows is true, what has worked a million times before, and simply slide my daughter into the sunlight, and she'll be okay. It's like that with a relationship with God. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. Yeah, but wait a minute. Isn't there something else? Isn't there enough? Hold on. Are we talking about the truth? The hope of your life is in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to put your faith and your hope and your trust in Him. If you're here this morning, I'd like you to pray with me just before we dismiss. And if you're here this morning, and if you've been looking for a kind of truth to stake your life on, and if you feel you want to just commit your life to Jesus Christ, to His truth, just while we're praying together, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand, and I just want to pray along with you the beginning step of your journey. Father, thank you. Thank you for meeting us in this moment. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be present in this place right now. And that you would call those men and women to yourself. That have been looking for life and freedom and truth. And if that's you this morning, you'd like to commit yourself to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You just put your hand up. Yeah. And I'm just going to pray with you. Okay. Great. Awesome. Just put your hand up and I just want to pray for you real quick. Great. Cool. So Lord, there are friends this morning who have decided to stake their lives on the ultimate truth and reality of who you are. And we would pray as a community your blessing upon them. We would pray that they would walk in the fullness and the strength of that truth, the truth of your name. I thank you, God, for your presence among us here this morning. Thank you for the way that you call us to be free. And then you create the means by which we can be free through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the leadership and the direction of your word. Through relationships and accountability with brothers and sisters in Christ, help us, Father, to be true in who you've made us to be. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness towards us. In the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me? You can pick up your Godspell tickets outside if you want. Friday. This week as you go, I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you. I pray that He lift up His countenance within you and be gracious to you. I pray that He give you wisdom, give you hearts that seek Him and find Him. give you courage as you follow Him to become like Him. Pray that you would know the mercy and the strength, the beauty of what relationship with God is all about. That you put your confidence in His strength. This week you go be God's people for God's glory, all right? Go in God's grace.